Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin. We're learning today, Leilu Nishmas, Joyce Katz, Yehudis Bas Miriam, Sarah Schwartz, Fanny Teplitsky, Tzina Fega Bas Moshe Isser, Walter Gutman, Shimon Ben Binyamin Ubeila, and Herbert Nagler, Yeshua Herschel, I don't have his father's name, Yeshua Herschel, and also Susan Jacobson, Sarah Malka Bas Aharon, and finally, Lili Rose Friedman, Rivka Friedman. All the shas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We pick up the Gemara, Nun Zayin Omid Aleph, three lines into the widest lines at the two dots. Yesterday we brought down that there were three stories or three incidents that occurred that Nebuch caused terrible destruction in Klal Yisrael. So we pick up now with the second story. Atarnagola v'Atarnagolta Charev Turmalka. The great city of Turmalka was destroyed because of a rooster and a female chicken, a hen. What happened? So the minhag in Harmalka was that they had a minhag that when they would get a chasan kalah to be married, they would have go in front of them mafke kamayu tarnagola v'tarnagolta. They would have a chicken, a male and a female, a rooster and a hen, go out in front of them, kolomar, as if they were saying, puruvu ki tarnagolim, you should go forth and be fruitful. In other words, the new couple should be, as is Hashem, be zochot to have many children, just like chickens. So yom mochad, have a kolif gunda duromoy. One time there was a troop of Roman legions that was coming by, and they saw this ceremony going on with the rooster and the hen, and shaklinu minayu, and for whatever the reason, this Roman legion went and took this rooster and the hen. So people were very upset. This was a custom that they had, but they shouldn't have been so quick to act. They were rash, and that's what we discussed in yesterday's shiur. They were pochazim. They acted sometimes without really fully thinking, and they went and attacked this Roman legion, naflu alayu, and mochanu. So they jumped this Roman legion, they outnumbered them, and they were able to kill them. However, word got back to the Kesar, Asromalei leKesar, Mardu Boch Yudai. The Jewish people were rebelling, they told the Kesar, because of this incident. And therefore, the Kesar went, also Alayu, he sent his armies to go and attack the Jews in Har Malka, Batur Malka. Now, Hava Bahu Hau Bar Droma. There was a very strong person there who came from the south, who was on the Jewish people's side. He was a Jew. The Hava Kofitz Mila Fikotabahu. He was so strong and powerful, he was able to jump a meal. This is obviously an exaggeration, but it meant that he was very, very powerful. He was able to go and defeat the Roman armies almost single-handedly. And we have a similar story in the Yerushalmi and the Medrash Eicha saying that this was Bar Kochva. And unfortunately, the same result of the story in the Medrash Eicha and Yerushalmi is mentioned over here as well, that he unfortunately thought that his strength was all due to himself and not due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see now in the story. So in any event, this Bar Droma, possibly Bar Kochva, was so strong and was defeating the Romans that the Caesar went and Shakli Kesar Litage, the king, the Caesar, took off his crown, the Osir and placed it on the ground, and Amr, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Liom Lokule, said the master of the entire world, he recognized that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. E nicholoch, please, if it pleases you, lo timsere, do not give over lahal gabra, me the Caesar, lididei, to one person, ulamachuse, my entire kingdom, biyodi dechad gabri. It's very, very, very humiliating to us that we should be defeated by one person. Here we have this huge Roman legion, and one guy is beating us up. So the Yerushalmi and the Medrash Eicha brings down that they would throw their ballistic missiles at him. They would throw the ballisteros. They would throw these huge rocks at him. He'd catch them and throw them back and kill many, many people. So please, he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let us die by the hands of this one person. So what happened? This Bar Droma, unfortunately, was his own worst enemy. Actually, Pume the Bar Droma. So he brought himself to die because he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he fell because of his own mouth, the Omar. He said, Halo ato Elokim zenachton. This is quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have given up on us. And therefore, V'lo teitzei Elokim b'zivul seinu. And therefore, don't go out with us. In other words, leave us alone. I'll fight them on my own. Don't interfere. Don't help them. And don't help me. Leave yourself out of this, and I will go on my own and go and defeat the Romans. And this was a terrible thing because he basically was saying that I don't need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all me. Kochi Yotzim Yadi, which of course is incorrect. So therefore, he ended up being killed, as the story will tell us in a minute. But the more questions, hey, he was quoting a pasuk from Tehillim. David nami amar hachi. David was the one that says, so why are we getting upset at Bardroma? So Gemara says, no, because David didn't say this as a definitive statement. David asmue kol misama. David was making this as like a rhetorical statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have you forsaken us? Have you given up on us? Have you not come out with us to battle? So he was saying it in a rhetorical, questioning type of a statement in amazement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us out. Whereas this Bardroma was saying, God, stay out of it. Let me fight them on my own, and I will be victorious. Now, what happened to him? All of Isaac, he say, this Bardroma went to the bathroom, and also Darkon, a snake came, and Shamte Likarkushe, and bit him on his insides, so to say, maybe went inside of him through his anus, the Noch Nafshe, and he ended up dying as a result of this. Now, the Caesar was very happy when he heard that this Bardroma was dead, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar, Ho, this Rachish Liniso, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made a nace happen to me that this Bardroma was killed in this obviously very strange and unusual way, so I will give the Jews another break. Hazimna Ish Bekinu, I will go and leave the Jews alone right now, and Shavkinu, and he left them alone, and he left. So the entire Roman legion went away from attacking the Jews. Now, when the Jews saw this, they were very, very happy. Is dakur. Rashi explains that his dakur means lismoach. They were joyous. But achlu v'shasu, they made a big party. And at this party that they made, that the Roman legion had left them, v'yadliku shrage, they lit big torches, adischaze b'lyona d'gushpanka b'rochok mila. Until you could see from all the light from these torches, a person could read their signet ring. Rashi says, Bulyona de Gushpanka is Bishoisalotsur Bitabato. If somebody had a signet ring, they had some images on their ring, he would be able to realize what was on it. Yamakira Rochok Milminoir. The Marineros. The lights were so bright, they were having such a big party and celebration that you could see even the light from that party a mile away, you could read their signet rings. So therefore, the Caesar saw this and he said, oh, the Jewish people are making fun of me. Omar, Michada Kochotu Biyudoi. The Jews are making a big party that I left as if they caused me to leave. So therefore, I'll show them. Hadar also Alayu. So he turned around and he came back and Nebuch, he did terrible, terrible destruction to the Jewish people. Omar Vasi, Vasi tells us how bad the destruction was. The Tlos Meya Alfe Shlife Saifa Ailu Turmalka. There were 300,000. Tlos Meya is 100 and Alphys 100,000. So 300,000 Shlife Saifa, sword carrying soldiers, Ailu Turmalka, came upon Turmalka, the Kotluba Nebuch, they killed over there, Tlosa Yome for 3 days, Utlosa Levasa, and for 3 nights. Ubahach Gisa, Hilule Vichenge, Velohavu Yode, Hani Bahani. But it was such a big mountain, so he killed all these people for 3 days and 3 nights. On one side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain, they didn't know what was going on. And they continued having this huge celebration. So Nebuch, you can see the tremendous disconnect over here. On one side of the mountain, they're partying because they thought the Romans had left and they had defeated them. On the other side, the Romans had come back and were killing the Jews, Nebuch, left and right. Now, Turmalka was a very, very big city. And the pasuk tells us in Eicha, and this pasuk in the Medrash Eicha discusses the whole Maisa over here with Bar Kokhba and the Haruge Beitar in great detail. So, Bila Hashem v'lo chamal eis kol nos Yaakov. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu swallowed up the Jewish people and he didn't have any mercy on us. All of the dwellings, all the na'os of Yaakov. Now, Kiyosu Ravi, Namar Yochanan, Ravi came married Yisrael to Babel. He said, oh, the name of Yochanan, this is a reference to Elushishim Ribo Ayoros. This is the 600,000 cities that belong to Yamei HaMelech on the Har HaMelech, on this Tur Malka. And it says further, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, Yehuda said in Ravasi, that Shishim Ribo Ayoros Hayulol Yamei HaMelech Bar Malka, the Har HaMelech, that there were 600,000 cities on this Tur Malka on Har HaMelech. And every city had in it the amount of the people that left Mitzrayim. We know that Mitzrayim, we say there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60 that left Mitzrayim. So each one of these cities had a huge population as big as the Yotzi Mitzrayim. And three of these cities had even twice as much. Chutz Mishalosh, three of the cities, Shayubayim Kiflayim Kiyos Mitzrayim, had 1.2 million in each of those cities. And what were those three cities? Elohein, they were known as Kfar Bish, Kfar Shichlayim, and Kfar Dichraya. Why were they called these names? So Kfar Bish was called Kfar Bish because the Lo Yave Beis Ol Yishbiza, because it was a negative, that this was called the bad city. Bish means bad. Lishna Bisha is Lashon Hara, it's bad speech. So Kfar Bish was a bad city because they didn't give people a place to stay. They weren't hosting guests. The next city was called Kfar Shechlaim. Shechlaim is Kress, which is a very, very low way to make a living. Not a good parnasa, Shayr parnasa min Shechlaim. So this was a very financially poor city. So it was known as Kfar Shechlaim. And Kfar Dichraya was known as the city of men. Dichraya is Zohar. Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable. So Kfar Dichraya is the city of men. Why was it called that? Because of Rabbi Yochanan. Shayr Mishoseim, Yoldos Zohar and Tchila, because the women in that city would first give birth to a man. And we know that the Gemara tells us that it's much better to give birth first to a girl. So this was a negative on the city, that the women would always give birth first to a man, and then the Yoldos Nekeba Bachrona Upolskos, and they would give birth to a girl afterwards, and they wouldn't have any more children. So this was also a negative. These three cities, which had a large population, and each of them more than the other cities, were somewhat recorded in a negative way. In any event, Ula then tells us, Amar Ula, Ladi Chazi Li Hal Asra, I myself saw Tur Malka, I saw this place, Har HaMelech, Da'afilu Shisen Rivasa, Kani Lo Machzik. He says, what are you telling me? There's such a big place, there were 600,000 cities over there. You couldn't even hold 600,000 reeds in that city. That's what Ula says, a very small place. So how can you tell me it's such a big place? And in fact, one of the Stukim heard Ula say this, and he said to the rabbis, Amalei, how Tzduki Lo Bichanina. So that Stuki, who also saw Tur Malka and saw that it was a very small place, said to Rabbi Chanina that you rabbis are liars. Rechman al-Hassan, he said, Shukure Mishakrisu, you're lying, because we just said how big Tur Malka was, and he says it's not true. I myself saw it, and Ula himself saw it, and he said it's a very small place. We didn't even hold 600,000 reeds, never mind 600,000 cities. So Rabbi Chanina answers him back to this Stuki, and he says, Amalei, Eretz Yisrael is compared to Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi Ksivba in Daniel, Eretz Yisrael is referred to the land of the deer. Why is that? Because Matzvi, just like a deer, Zet, Ein Oro, Machzik is Mesoro. If you go and flay the deer, so the skin, you can't believe that that skin ever was able to totally encompass the entire deer. In other words, it shrinks tremendously when you take it off the body. So too, he says, Av Eretz Yisrael is described like that also. Bisman, Shioshin, Alea, when people are living in Eretz Yisrael, so then it can hold everybody. Rivacha. We know the Nase that occurred in the base of English. Everybody was able to go up on the Shlosh Regalim and go up to the Azar. Everybody's able to bow down in Yom Kippur. They would be standing very tightly packed. When they bowed down, everybody had plenty of space to bow down. It was a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to occur. So, Af Eretz Yisrael, Bisman, Sheyoshim Aleha, when people are living in Eretz Yisrael, Rivacha, then there's plenty of room for everybody to live. However, Bisman, Sheyim Yoshim Aleha, but now that it's been destroyed, now that Tur Malka has been destroyed, so Gomda, it's shriveled up. Rashi has a foreign language word, which he says means that it basically was Misyavesh Umaglit. It's all contracted and shriveled up. As a result, nobody is, it doesn't look like so many people could live there, but when the people actually lived there, it had room for everybody. The Gemara then tells us that three great Tanoim were sitting together, Rav Menyumi Bar Chilkiyav, Rav Chilkiyav Bar Tuvyav, Rav Huna Bar Chiriyah, Havu Yasvei Gabi Yadav. They were all sitting together and talking, Amre, and they said to each other, has anybody ever heard anything about the city of Kfar Schanya? And as Rashi explains, they wanted to know, was the city a good city or was it not a good city? So Rashi tells us, Ma Maseim. They wanted to know what the character traits of the people were there. In Tzadikim, in Rishon. Were they big Tzadikim or were they Rishon? So these three Rabbanim were sitting together and they said, Amri, Yiko Dishmir Le Milso, Mikvar Schanya, Shomitzrayim Lema. They were saying, in case anybody knows anything about Kfar Schanya, please speak up. So each of them spoke up. So Pasach Chaminai, we don't know which one said this. One of them said, Pasach Chaminai, Yomer, he said, Maise, there once was a story, but Arus Yarusoso, a man who had the first stage of marriage, he was married only to the point of being an Erisin, the Kiddushin. They didn't yet have the Nisuin, so they were not allowed to go live with anybody else, but they weren't allowed to live yet with each other. And they were captured. Shenishbu Lebein Hovde Kochavim. They're going to capture them. Now, they hadn't yet had a ksuba written, and they weren't able to live together. But the Goyim, they wanted, I guess, maybe to have children from them. I'm not sure why, but the Goyim put them together and said, go and live together. So so the woman, the Arusa, said to her husband, listen, we're not fully married yet. So she said, I beg of you, please, Al tigabi, do not touch me. Because we haven't fulfilled the second stage of marriage, the Nisuin state, and I don't have a ksuba. Now, why didn't he write your ksuba? So the Marsha explains that they were in captivity here, and he had no property. He didn't even have any metaltalin. He had nothing, and therefore he had nothing to guarantee the ksuba with, so he didn't want to write her a ksuba. So what happened? He didn't touch her. So they lived together in captivity, in the same room, in the same bed, but he never, ever touched her. And this was a great serious nefesh on his part. Ukishimais, when the man died, Amru Lahem, she told everybody, Siftu Lazet, when you eulogize my husband, you should eulogize him in the following way. Shepit Beit Yitzro Yosef Atzadik. He was even greater than Yosef Atzadik, who conquered his Yitzhar with Ashes Potiphar. My husband was even greater, that he was able to make little his, as Rashi says, Zilzel Be Yitzro. He was able to denigrate his Yitzhara, Velo Choshru Ella Nizgaber Allah. And he didn't succumb to it, he was able to overcome his Yitzhara. And he was even greater than Yosef Tzadik. Why? Because the Elul Yosef, but Yosef Tzadik lo abe elochad shaita. It was a one-time event. I call Yom of Yomen. Here, my husband was living with me every single day. He was tempted every single day. The Elul Yosef lo abe chad demita, and Yosef wasn't in the same bed as Ashes Potiphar. Hi, bechad demita. Here, he was in the same bed with me every single day. The Elul Yosef lo abe ishto, and Yosef wasn't with the woman he was permitted to be with. He wasn't with his wife. But ishto, he's with his wife, and yet he was able to combat his Yetzirah and not succumb to his Yetzirah. So that's the first one of the three great Rabbanim. That's, he said about Kras Chanya, these people lived in Kras Chanya, this Aris and Aruso, so this was obviously a city of great people. Another one of them spoke up, he said, Maisa, there once was a Maisa in Kras Chanya, v'amdu aboy modios bedinar, the regular price for a certain amount of dogon, a certain amount of grain, was 40 modios, a certain measure. And you could buy that with a dinar. Now, something happened. Mechsar hashar modio achas. And the prices went up. In other words, instead of being able to buy with one dinar 40 measures, you're now only able to buy 39 measures. So they figured this must be because of some sin that they did, ubatko. So they checked out, what sin did we do that should make the prices go down? They realized that everything comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there must have been some avla that was done in their town, and therefore they went to see what that avla was, and they found, they checked, they found the father and the son, Shabal, Naramu Rasa, Yom Kippur, and they found that a father and a son that Nebuch committed a terrible aver with a Naramu Rasa, they committed adultery with a Naramu Rasa on Yom Kippur itself. And what did they do? They brought him to court. They brought him to the Beis Din, to school him, and they found him guilty, and they went and killed him. And therefore, this was their righteousness, and they realized that everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they didn't go and say, well, this is just natural events that the prices went down. V'chazar hashar l'mkomo. And when they rectified the situation, the prices went back up to being able to buy with one dinar 40 of these modios, 40 measures, with a single dinar. That's what it means, v'chazar hashar l'mkomo. Okay, now, Pasach Idach, the third great rabbi, came along and said, V'yomar, Maisa, another story, V'yodim Echot, Shenosan Einon, V'yishto L'garsha, a man wanted to divorce his wife, Nebuch, he, for whatever the reason, didn't want to live with her anymore. However, he had a very large ksuba, which he didn't want to pay. V'yisa ksubasa meruba. And he had an idea, a very shady and improper way of trying to divorce her without having to pay the ksuba. So what did he do? Me'asot, he invited a bunch of his friends over to his house. The hechilon, he gave them to eat. The hishkon, he gave them to drink. And shikron, he got them drunk. Vishkivan amita achas, and he put him on a bed where his wife slept. And the hevi luven beitzah, the heitel beinam, and he put the white of an egg next to them on the bed, which would be looking like it was zera. That's what Rashi tells us. Shehei dome l'shichva zera lohotzi kol shebo al ishto. And this way he would go and cast aspersions on his wife, and therefore he would be able to divorce her without having to pay the ksuba. Now, he brought in Adim, the hand of Lam Adim ubala beisdin. He had Adim come and testify what they saw, and he went to beisdin and he said, I want to divorce my wife. She's acting in a moral fashion, and I don't want to have to pay the ksuba. Now, in the basin, Hayisham Zokin Echad, Mitamide Shammai Hazokin. In that basin was a very smart man who was a Talmud of Shammai Hazokin, and his name was Ubaba Ben Buta Shimo. Baba Ben Buta was a great Talmud Chacham, and he said to them, there's something fishy over here. Omolahem, Kachmi Kublani Shammai Hazokin. I myself heard from Shammai Hazokin that there's a difference between Zera, semen, and the white of an egg, and you can tell it in the following way. Loven beitza, the white of an egg, is soled min or. Rashi says this is the same word that we had before for ganda. He has the same foreign language word. It means it will contract and shrivel up. Misyadesh umaglin. So if it truly is the white of an egg, when you put it next to fire, min or, so it will contract, it will congeal. However, v'shichva zera docha min ha'ur. But shichva zera, Rashi says, will be nichnas v'nivla ba'beged v'eino maglit. It won't become cooked, so to say. It will get, by the heat, it will go into the garment. So he said, check to see if this guy's telling the truth, if this is really Zerah from these men, so then he has a right to go divorce his wife because she acted immorally. But if, in fact, it is the white of an egg, so then you'll see that it will be, in fact, contracted and cooked rather than go into the garment. No, Bodku, they checked it out, Kumotso, Kidvara, and it was as Babu Ben Buta suspected, this guy was just a faker, and he was trying to go get the divorce his wife without having to make Suba. So they viewed the based in, so they brought this guy, this bad man, the husband who tried to divorce his wife on casting aspersions on her character, Vilku, and they even Malkus, the Higbuk, Subasumimenu, and he divorced his wife, and they took the money from him to pay for the Ksuba. So they forced him to. So all of these are examples of the people of Kfar Schania, that they were in fact good people. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, if the people in Kfar Schania were such good people, so then how come the city was destroyed? So Amale Abayel Rav Yosef, Umayachar Dahabu Tzadikim Kulehai, as we saw these three stories, the people that lived in Kfar Schania were very, very good people. So why Abaye asked Rav Yosef, my time was Iyanush, why were they punished? Why was the city destroyed? So Amale, so Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, Mishum Delo Yabu Al Yerushalayim, because they didn't mourn enough the tragic destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of Yerushalayim and going into Golos. As the pasuk tells us, it's a pasuk from Yeshaya. Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bo kol avel sisu ita masos kol es adu malel. The people should mourn Yerushalayim. All those who mourn will eventually live to the day that in Yitzhak Hashem, the Peri Yemenu, it shall be rebuilt. So therefore, these people didn't mourn sufficiently Yerushalayim. This is a tremendous Musa Haskell for us, because the Golos that we live in is probably better than most of the Goloses that have all been throughout Jewish history. And yet, we especially need to therefore mourn Yerushalayim and realize that what we have right now is nowhere near what Be'ezus Hashem, Yerushalayim will be, B'mehir B'yameinu, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the coming of Mashiach. Now, in yesterday's shir, we had mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan brought down three things that had happened. There were examples of Klal Yisrael acting in a way that was improper. We had the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. We had the story of Tura Malka. And the third story will now have Ashako Durisbak Chorv Beta. The city of Beta was destroyed because of the side of a carriage, of a wagon. And because of this maisa that we're about to have, that's why Beta got destroyed. What happened? The Havu Nihige Beitar had a custom, ki habi misyal yinuko shosle arza, and yinukta shosle turnisa. They had a custom that when a baby boy was born, they would plant a cedar tree, and when a baby girl was born, they would plant a pine tree. And then when they got married, vichi havu minsave kaitzilhu the avdu ginona. And then when the children got married, so they would cut down the cedar tree and the pine tree, and they would make the wedding canopy out of those two trees. Beautiful custom. However, one time it led them into trouble. Because Yom Echad, one time it so happened, have a kocholfa berate de Kesar. One time the Kesar's daughter, the Caesar's daughter, was going by in a carriage, and what happened? Itbar shako derisbak, and the side of her carriage broke. And as a result, they had to cut down a tree to go and fix it. So Kotsu Arza, they cut down the cedar tree that was supposed to be the cedar tree for a certain person when he would get married. They would have used that cedar tree to fulfill their custom of making the chuppah out of that cedar tree. But instead, the Caesar's daughter's servants went and cut it down, and they put it to the side of the wagon, and they fixed the wagon by law. However, the people were very unhappy about this, and again, incorrectly and improperly, they acted with a pachas, with a inappropriate rashness and rushing. So asu nafal alayu mechanu. So they went and attacked the people that cut down this cedar tree, and they killed them. So this was not what the Caesar wanted to hear. And asu amulei lekesar. When they told this to the Caesar, they said it in a way that mardu boch yudoy. It was a real chutzpah for the people to go and attack the servants of the king's daughter, the Caesar's daughter. And therefore, Asu Alayu, he sent his soldiers to go and destroy Beitar. Now, the destruction of Beitar occurred some 50 plus years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and this was like the final straw, because during the days of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba, they thought that they were making the third commonwealth, and they thought that they were going to go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately, that obviously was not the case. And when the destruction of Beitar occurred, there was a tremendous loss of life. And this is what we darshan from the Pasuk in Echa, where it says, Goda b'choriach, kol Keren Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off the Keren Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael, the horn of Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zeira said the name of Rabbi Abo, said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Elu Shmonim Elef Karne Milchama. This is that reference to the 80,000 horns of Milchama. This is like the leaders of divisions, of legions of the Roman army, Shenichlitzu Lekarach Beita, that entered into the city of Beitar, Bishor Shelachadua, at the time that they went and captured this city. And this huge foreign Roman legion, Harguba Anoshiv Anoshiv Atap, they killed a tremendous amount of men, women, and children, until so much blood was shed, Ashaholach Domam, their blood flowed, V'nofel Yamagodo, their blood flowed, there was so much blood, Nebuchadnezzar, that was shed, their blood flowed from the city of Beitar all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, to the Yamagodo. Now you're going to tell me, oh, it must have been right next to it, Shemo Tomar, Krovite, so you're going to say that Beitar was right next to the Mediterranean, and therefore it wasn't as much blood as it sounds like. No, where it says Rehoka, it's a mil. It was actually a mil away. A mil is 2,000 amas, about a kilometer. And Tanya will learn a brisa. There are two rivers that flow over there in this valley of Bikas Yodayim. Echad Moshech Eloch, Echad Moshech Eloch. They each flow in opposite ways. Yeshiru Chachamim, that the waters that were flowing in these two rivers over here from Beitar to the Mediterranean, Shnei Chalokim Mayim Ve'echad Dam. They were comprised of two parts of water and one part of blood. That's how much Nebuchadnezzar's blood was shed over here at Beitar. Furthermore, we must need to learn the following bright. So, Sheva Shonim Batsru Ovdi Kochod Mes Karneyem. For 7 years, they were able to go and harvest their vineyards from the fertilizer that was from the blood of all the Jewish people, Nebuch, that came into that area. Midob and Sheyisrael below Zevel. They didn't have to add any separate fertilizer. The fields were fertilized just Nebuch with the bloods of the Jewish people. And they didn't allow them to get buried as well. And then ultimately, when the Caesar died and a new Caesar came in and they relaxed the decree so they were allowed to be buried. So this is why we make the bracha, the fourth bracha, benching of a tov v'ametiv. Tov shelo yisrichu and ametiv shenitnu l'kvura. So they were finally able to be buried. But this was a tremendous, tragic loss of life. Now we turn to the Zion of the Bays where we continue. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Korcha. Rabbi Chia bar Avin said, name Rabbi Yishu ben Korcha. There was an older person who told me, he lived in Yerushalayim, and he told me that Bibikozu, in this very valley over here, Nebuch Harag Nebuzaradin Rav Tabochim Masayim V'Yachasisre Ribo, that Nebuch Nebuzaradin, who was known as the chief butcher of Nebuchadnezzar. Now here we're talking now about Bayis Rishon. We're jumping. We just had talked about Bayis Sheni, so we're going to go back and talk about what Nebuch Bavel did first, and then we'll get to Beitar. In any event, what happened over here in this valley, Sochli Zokin Echa Mianchi Shlaim, this person that told Rabbi Chiya bar Avin in the name of Yishuv ben Karcha, that in this valley, Nebuzaradan, who was Rav Tabochim, he was the chief butcher, he killed Masayim V'Yachasis Rei, that's 211 Ribo, 10,000s, 211 10,000s is 2.1 million and 10,000 people. That's a lot of Nebuch Jewish blood that was shed by Nebuzaradan. And this happened during the period of time of Bayis Rishon. Acheholach domam v'noga b'domam shel Zechariah. All the blood that he shed, it mixed with the blood of Zechariah. This was Zechariah ben Yoyada, who was a Navi in the time of Yehoash. And when people started to, unfortunately, go off the derech in the time of Yehoash, so Yehoash ordered them to kill Zechariah. And Nebuch, they killed Zechariah. He was a Navi and a Kohen, and they killed him, and his blood never stopped bubbling, as we'll see in the upcoming Gemara. So the blood of these people that Nebuzaradan killed mixed with the blood of Zechariah that was still bubbling. And L'kayim HaShememer, to fulfill that which is in the Pasuk in Hosea, B'domim, B'domim, Nogo. The blood will mix with other blood. Now, what's going on over here? So the Gemara tells us, Ashechei L'dmeid Zechariah. Nebuzaradan saw the blood in the base of Mikdash of Zechariah. Davikom Martach V'solik. It was going and coming. In other words, it was bubbling. It was still fresh blood, so to say, as if it just come out of a body. So he said, what's going on over here? I'm in my high. Nebuzaradan asked the Kohanim, what's going on over here? So they told him, Amrulei, Dam Zvachim Dishtapuch. No, don't be worried about it. This is just blood from sacrifices that was just recently shed. So he said, that doesn't look like the blood of animals. I say to me, he brought animals of comparable type, the low Idamu, and it didn't look like that was the same blood. In other words, he could tell that there was something off of this blood. It wasn't animal blood, it was human blood. So Amalahu, who's around, tells him, listen, either tell me the truth or off with your heads. Yamritu li muta vilab. If you tell me, fine, but if you don't, masrikna, I will go and comb, live saraichu, your flesh, bimasrike de parzale, with iron combs. In other words, I'm going to torture you if you don't tell me the truth over here. He knew that they were not telling him the truth, that it was the animal blood from sacrifices. So therefore, he said, what is going on over here? What is this blood? So what happened? So they said, my name, Loch, what can we tell you? Tell you the truth. Neviah, Hava, Bon. There was another over here, Zechayah ben Yoyada, the Hava Kamul Chachlon, who was giving us Tochacha, he was giving us Musar, B'mil Yishmai, in regards to spiritual matters, we weren't doing things right. So, Kominon Ilave, B'katlinale. So, Yoash, the king, said, go and kill him. And we listened, and we killed him. It's now several hundred years. It was a very, very long time that this happened previously, and yet lo konayich demay, the blood did not stop. In other words, it was still bubbling as if it just happened yesterday. So this was several hundred years later, and the blood was still bubbling. In fact, if you calculate it out, it was 252 years earlier than this that Zechariah was killed, and it was rather still seeing the blood bubbling. Amaluna Ruzan tells him, no, I know Mafaisino law. I will go and quiet this blood. And you know what he did? Nebuch, I say Sanhedrin, Gedolu Sanhedrin Kitana. He brought the large Sanhedrin, the 71 Sanhedrin, and he brought the Sanhedrin, the 23 Sanhedrin of the Harabais. There was also, besides the Sanhedrin, there was also a Sanhedrin Kitana, 23 member Sanhedrin, and he killed all of them. Kotel Ilove, and he said, this will appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, and the blood will stop. However, Velunach, the blood didn't stop bubbling. So he said, I'll go kill some more. He took Bachurim Vesulos, Kotali Lade. He took lots of Nebuch young men and women, and he killed them and mixed their blood. Also was a Chayis blood below Noch, and yet it didn't stop bubbling. So he took more Nebuch. I say Tinok, Oshobes Rabban. He took the little kids out of the preschool, out of the elementary school, and Kotali Lade killed them over this blood below Noch, and the blood still didn't stop. Amalei, Nevi Razin said, Zechariah, Zechariah. He calls out to Zechariah. He mentioned many times when you have the double lashon, it shows emphasis and it shows importance. Sometimes it shows chavivus. Tovim shebehen ibaritim. I've killed off the best of them. He killed the Sanhedrin. He killed the young men, the young women. He killed the little children. Nicha lach, is it good for you? The abdinu lechuli. You want me to wipe out the rest of Chai Yisrael too? Now, as soon as he said that, Kidom Amalei, Hochi Noch. As soon as he said this, Zechariah, so to say, was happy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the blood stop bubbling. Now, Ba'ayishaita, at that very moment, Nebuzaradan had Hirhurei Tshuva. Hirhurei Tshuva B'dayte. He said, oh my God, what did I just do? Omer, he said, Umay imal nefesh achas kach. If look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu accounts for one nefesh, Zechariah, and look how much bloodshed he had because of one death. So how Gavra, meaning himself, the Kotal Kol Hani Nishvaso, who just killed all of these people, Al Achas Kama Bekama Nebuch, how much more is HaKadosh Baruch Hu take it out on me? And he realized that what he had done was terrible. And Orak, he ran away. Ozal, he went. Shodar Shtar Partoso Beveise, he put out a document to say to his family what they should do with all of his properties and anything that he had. And he became a Ger Tzedek. He became a righteous convert. Amazing. He killed Nebuch, so many Jews, and yet there's always a possibility of tshuva, and he in fact did a righteous tshuva. Taught him, we learn further in the Braisa, Naaman, the famous story with Naaman and Elisha and Gehazi. Naaman had Tzaraas, he was a general, and he had Tzaraas, and he went to Elisha after he couldn't be cured by anybody else, and Elisha told him, just go Tovel in the Yarden, and you'll be better, and he got better. So he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I still have to go and serve my king, who is a guy, and he's going to make me bow down to him at various times. So he told him, I'm not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, I'm just bowing down because I don't have a choice. And Elisha told him that is acceptable. So he became a Ger Toshav Haya. That's a person who usually accepts upon himself the Zayin Mitzvah of Noach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Naaman was. Nehu Zaradin, as we just said, Ger Tzedek Haya. He became a true Ger Tzedek. He became a true Ger. He was in his Gaya. Then he tells us further in the Brayso, Bibnei Banav Shal Haman, Limdu Torah Bibnei Rach. Haman, wicked Rasha Haman, had children who would end up going and teaching Torah in Bnei Brak. Haman had many children. Some suggest he had over 200 children, 208 children, the Gemara tells us. And what happened was that only those who were mentioned in the Megillah, the 10 sons of Haman that mentioned the Megillah, were hung on the tree and with Haman. And the others, we don't know exactly what happened to them, but some of them ended up converting and their descendants taught Torah in Bnei Brak. Amazing. Sisra, who was also a wicked, wicked king who tried to destroy Klal Yisrael, so he also was zochah to have children that ended up being rabbeim to children in Yerushalayim. And finally, b'nei banim shel Sancheirib. Sancheirib is another person who tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. Limdu Torah b'rabim. They taught Torah publicly. And don't think that this is just in the times of the Gemara. There are many, many people right now who are descendants of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zichram, high-level Nazis, who have converted, and their children are sitting in Bnei Brak, literally today, and sitting in other parts of Eretz Yisrael. They're Charedim, and they're learning Torah. Because also, this idea that the Gemara mentioned is not only for the times of the Gemara. It's even nowadays that there are Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zichram, who their children saw that what their parents did was terrible and wrong, and they converted and became Erlich Yidden. Now, the Gemara asks, Ma Inon, who are these children of Sancheirib that are learning Torah Barabim? That's Shmaya V'Altayim, the great Nasi and Abbezdin Shmaya V'Altayim. Now, we continue with the story of Zechariah's blood. Hainu Dichsev, it tells us, the pasuk from Yecheskel, it says, Nosati es domo al tzchiach sola levilti kastos. I put his blood on bedavka, on a hard surface, so it shouldn't get covered up, shouldn't get absorbed into the ground. So this smaisa with the Guzarat would occur. Now we dash in the pasuk, Hakol kol Yaakov edayim de'esov, the famous pasuk, when Yaakov gets the brachos from Yitzchak, so Yitzchak says, Hakol kol Yaakov, the voice is Yaakov, but the edayim de'esov. So what is this referring to? So we dash in it homiletically, and we say, Hakol, this reference to the call of Yaakov was crying out in the times of Zeh Adaryanus Kesar, in the times of Adaryanus is Hadrian. That was during the time of Beta, when he destroyed so much. So this is Adaryanus Kesar, when he killed so many people, Shaharik Balazandrius of Mitzrayim. He killed also in Alexandria Mitzrayim, Shishim Rebo al Shishim Rebo. He killed 60 ten thousands. In other words, he killed 600,000 and 600,000, which is Kiflayim Kiyosim Mitzrayim. This is twice as many people as between the age of 20 and 60 of men who left Mitzrayim, 1.2 million people. Furthermore, Kol Yaakov, this is a reference to Zeh Aspasianus Kesar. This is a reference to the Kesar Aspasianus, which is Vespasian, albeit in some of the Mepharshim they correct this, and they say that this should be also Adaryanus Kesar, because this is now talking about Beitar, because this was 52 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Aspasianus was no longer the Caesar then, it was under Adaryanus, Hadrian. In any event, the call that was Yaakov was crying out then during the years of the destruction of Beitar by Adaryanus, so Shaharag Bikrach Beitar, that he killed in Beitar, Arba Meos Rebo, 400 Rebo, that's 410,000, which is 4 million. And others suggest, Armila Arbas Alpayim Rebo, that it was 40 million because it was 4,000 10,000, not 400. Now again, these are probably exaggerations, but sometimes when we're given numbers like this, so they include all of the potential descendants that would have come from those people. So let's say you even killed one person. So that person now doesn't have children, doesn't have grandchildren, doesn't have great-grandchildren, that all would have come into place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how many children, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren they would have had. So sometimes these numbers are coming to teach us all of their progeny that would have existed, no longer exists. And that's why you have sometimes these astronomical numbers. And the same idea when it says that in Mitzrayim, the Chamushim Alu, that only one-fifth, or some suggest even only one-fiftieth left. So how could so many people have been left behind? Because you know how many people left. So therefore, they suggest that the others included all of their potential progeny that didn't come out. In any event, so this was the Kol Kol Yaakov, the crying out of Yaakov. Vaidai Ne'esav, that refers to the brutality of Esav. Zu Malchus HaRishah, the Roman Empire is often referred to as the Malchus HaRishah. Shechriva es Boseinu, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash HaSarfes, Echleinu, they destroyed the entire Temple Mount. V'Iglisanu Me'atzenu Nebuch, they exiled us into Rome. Alternatively, another way to dash in the pasuk is Davar Acher Hakol Kol Yaakov. That means Ein Lecha Tefila Shemuelis. There is no Tefila that will work. Shein Ba Mizaros Yaakov. Tefilas work because they have the Kol of Yaakov. So it has to be in every Tefila, so to say, a Kol of Yaakov in order for that Tefila to really work well. By Yedayim Deis, what is that referring to? That is Ein Lecha Muhama. There is no Muhama Shino Tzachas that is going to be victorious. Shein Ba Mizaros Leisav. Esav is known for their Muhama. So anybody that wins, there must be some aspect of Esav somehow in there. This is more of a homiletic interpretation as well, and I don't know how to take this, if it should be taken at all, literally. In any event, Gemara continues and tells us we have the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, so Ahayim Dom Rabbi Elazar, now we have this over here, it's a little bit out of place, it says, Bishot Loshon Techove. Now the word Bishot, Rashi tells us, is Shot Loshon, is Shevet Makla. This is like a stick that you hit with. So therefore, when your tongue wants to hit, when your tongue wants to stay Loshon Hara, you have to go and be careful to hide from it or to hide the tongue. from speaking Lashon Hara, a person has to hide himself. He has to go and make sure he doesn't speak Lashon Hara. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, we continue discussing the Churban. My this is what he means when he says the famous psukim that we have in Tehillim, which also are said by many, not only during the 9 days, but there's a strong custom to say it during the 9 days before you bench, but actually whenever you don't say the Shir HaMalos that we say on Shabbos or on Yontif, so there is a custom to say this Al Naros Bavel Shir HaMalos. And in fact, this should be done. Again, the minhag is somehow not to always do this, but ideally it really should be done. Certainly one should be thinking of the Churban at all times. So my decision, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Al Naros Bavel Shom Yeshavnu Gam Bachinu B'Zachreinu Etzion, that when Klai Yisrael went in the Bais Rishon, after the destruction of the Bais Rishon into Golos, so we were by the rivers of the Bavel, and we sat there and we cried when we remembered what we had in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is Malame Sheroa Kodesh Baruch Hu LeDavid, that David HaMelech saw this, and he said this in Tehillim through Nevuah, through Ruach HaKodesh. And he saw this was the Churban Bayis Rishon, as well he saw the Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Rishon Shnemar, Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yishavdu, Gam Bochinu. And he saw the Bayis Sheni as well, Dersiv, Zachor Hashem Levnei Adom, Esim Rishaloyim, Omrim, Aru, Aru, Ada Yisod Ba, which is a continuation of this capital in Tehillim. So David HaMelech saw through Ruach HaKodesh, Nebuch, the destruction of the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to darshan a pasuk in a number of different homiletical ways. The pasuk that we're going to be darshaning is Ki Olecha Horagnu Kol Hayom Nechshavnu Katzon Tivcha. A pasuk also from Tehillim. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So we'll have 5 different ways to darshan this. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the first one. Others say Vitem or Ravami. It wasn't Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It was Ravami. The Amar Le Others say Vimasnisatan was a Braisa. So this is the famous Maisa that we read about in the Kinos as well on Tisha B'Av. Maisa B'Dalad Meos Yelodim Yelodos Shenishbu Lekol. Nebuch, the Romans took captive 400 young men, 400 young women, and they planned to Nebuch do all sorts of terrible things to them. Lekolon, Rashi tells us, they would take the boys and they would use them, Nebuch, Lemishkav, Zacha, they would serve as homosexual prostitutes, V'yelodos, to be Lakshim. And the girls would be Nebuch to be Pilakshim. They would be sort of like wives, or again, to be Zonos for the Romans. So there were 400 Yiddish boys and 400 Yiddish girls, Nebuch, that were taken by boat to Rome to engage in this Nishbu Lekolom, for these activities that were captured for immorality. Now, they understood themselves that this was going to happen. Yehishu Mi'atzvam, they themselves knew, Lema Hemis Bakshim, what was going to happen to them when they got to Rome. So Amru, they said, Im Anu Tovim Bayam, if we drown ourselves in the Yam, Anu Boim L'chayelam Abba, not. Is this suicide, but we're doing it for the purposes of not, Rechmon al-San, have to commit these immoralities, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us to Olam Abba? So they didn't know what to do, so they asked the oldest amongst them what they should do. Darash Lam HaGadosh Behen, so he dashed in the following pasuk, a pasuk also from Tehillim, where it says, Amar Hashem mi Boshan Oshiv, Oshiv mi Mitzulos Yam. Hashem said, I will take you back from Boshan, I will even bring you back from Mitzulos Yam, from the depths of the sea. So what does that refer to? Mi Boshan Oshiv, that means mi Bain Shine Aryeh. Boshan is a play on the words Bain Shine, and it means between the teeth of the lion. In other words, you're stuck here with these lions over here that have attacked you. Oshiv Mitzulos Yam. But if you drown, I will take you and save you eventually from these Mitzulos Yam. Elu Shetovim Bayam. This is referring to people that are going to drown in the ocean. Now, Kivan Sheshamu Yulados Kach, as soon as the girls heard this, so they said, if we're going to have Olam Haba, if Hashem is not upset with us for, quote, committing suicide under these horrific circumstances, so then Kavtsu Kulan, the Nofel Usochaya. So they all said, rather than commit to these immoralities that they're going to force us to do, they all jumped off the side of the boat into the ocean and drowned. The boys saw this, Nasu Yeladim Kavachomer, the Atzmar. And they said, made a Kavachomer themselves. They said, Biomru, Mahalalu, these girls, Shadarkin Lekach. Nevertheless, Kach, these girls that they're going to have normal heterosexual relations, at least, with the people that are going to assault them. So, nevertheless, they jumped into the water, so how much more so for us? Anu Shein Darkin Lekach. Men aren't supposed to have relations with men. That's an abnormality. That's not the typical. That's not normal. And therefore, how much more so should we jump into the water to prevent ourselves from having to submit to this immorality? Alach has kama v'kama. They made this kavachomer, and therefore, afheim kotsu l'sochayam. They jumped into the water. And about them, it says, the pasuk, aleim akosav omer, this is the first darshning of this pasuk, yalech l'ragnu kolayom. We were killed all day long. Nechshavnu kitzon tivcha. We were like sheep for slaughter. So that's the first way to dash the pasuk. We have 4 other ways. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, this is a reference to this pasuk, Ki Alech L'Ragu Kol Hayom, this is a reference to Zu'isha V'Shiva Baneha, the famous story of Chana and her 7 children. Zu'isha V'Shiva Baneha. Now, Asyu Kama L'Kamei the Kesa. They brought the first son of Chana into the Kesa, and Amru Leh, And he said to his son, Plach le'avodas kochavim, bow down to the Yavodah Zara. And the son said, the Bechor said, Amalahu, sorry, can't do that. The Torah tells me only there is one God. Only Hashem is our God, not you, not your idol. I'm not bowing down. So the Caesar, in a fit of anger, afku, he took him out, and they killed him right in front of Chana, the mother. Then they bring the second child. They bring the second child in front of the Kesa and in front of Chana. And Amulei, and they say to this son, bow down. The Caesar says, bow down. And this son also quotes the pots to say, I ain't doing it. Amulei tells the Caesar, Kosav Batorah, it says in the Torah, Lo yeh l'choy l'kim achirim al ponoi. In the Assassin's Demon, it says, you can't have any other gods. Sorry, I'm not bowing down. So the Caesar again takes him, afku, they take him out, v'kadlu, and they kill him, again, in front of Chana. Asuli Idach, number three they bring. Amrulei, they say to number three, Plach le'vodas kochavim, bow down to the idol. And he says as well, Amalu, number three child says, Kosu v'torah zoveach l'elokim yocharam. If you sacrifice yourself to a god of Avodah Zarah, you will be destroyed. You're only allowed to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I'm not going to bow down to this idol. So they take number three son, Avku, Bikadlu, and they go and kill him. They bring number four son, Asur Le'idach. Number four son they bring in, normal ladies, Hedatu Blach Levodas Kodim, bow down to the idol. Number four son says, Amalei, Kazav Atarro, Los Ishtach Velekel Acher. You're not allowed to go and daven or bow down to another god. So I'm not bowing down. They take number four son, Avku, Bikadlu, and they kill him as well. They bring number five son, Asur Le'idach. They bring the fifth of the seven sons of Chana. And Amalei, they tell the fifth son, Blach Levodas Kodim, bow down to the idol. Amalei says, no way. Kazav Atarro, Shmaisol Hashem Akenu Shem Echad. And I'm not bowing down. So Afku, Bikadlu. They take number five son and they go and kill him, Nebuch, as well. Asuli Idach, they bring number six son. Amulei, they say to him, Plach le'avodas kochavim, bow down to the Avodah Zarah. Amulei says, no way. Ksuv b'Torah yadata yom, v'ashivos al levecha, ki Hashem elokim, v'ashamayim me'al, v'al ha'aretz v'tochas, ain od. So there's only one God. I'm only bowing down to that God and not to your idol. There's no way. So therefore, Afku, they take number six son out, Bikadlu, and Nebuch, they kill him as well in front of Chana. Now, they bring the seventh and final son, Asur Le'idach. They bring the seventh son, and when they say to him, bow down to the Avodah Zarah, Blach Le'avodas Kochavim, and seventh son says, no way, Amalahu. He says, Kosav HaTorah, Es Hashem Hamarto V'Gomer, V'Hashem Hamircho Hayom. Hashem is our God, and only Hashem, and not bowing down. Kvar Nishpanu LaKodesh Baruch Hu. The seventh son said, we've already sworn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'ein anu mavirin oso be'el acher. We're never going to worship another God. We only worship Hashem. V'afhu nishba lanu. And Hashem has also promised us that He will never exchange us for another nation. She'ein mavir osanu be'um acheris. So it's a two-way deal. We worship only Hashem. Hashem will only have us as the chosen people. The Caesar is not happy with this entire escapade, but he doesn't want to kill the seventh son yet. Amalei Kesa, the Caesar says, Ishti loch gushpanka. Rashi explains, gushpanka is my chosne, the signet ring, shetu asid tavu abo, and my image is on it. Kidei shete nire mishtach v'lo. And I'm asking you, please, ugichin v'shikle, go bend down and pick it up for me, and it will look like you're just picking up the ring, but people will think that you're bowing down to me. So people say, Kabbalah Hermon of the Malka. So people say, at least you accept the authority of me as the Caesar, even if you're not going to bow down to an Avodah Zarah. And the boy said, no way. Amalei, Chaval Alecha Kesar, Chaval Alecha Kesar. Again, the double lashon over here to show his emphasis. It's so sad. You are the powerful Caesar, and all you're concerned about is the cover. What are people going to think about you? Al Kavod Asucha Kach. You're worried about your kavod, so imagine how much more I have to worry about the kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Allah has come to Kaaba. So you want me to bow down to you, so people will respect you. Well, if I bow down to you, then it means I'm disrespecting our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no way that I would do that. So the Caesar's upset. Afku, they take out the seventh and last child of Chana, Lemiktele, to go and kill him. Amra Lu Ime, the mother Chana says before they take you out, Yavu Niali, give him to me just for a second. Vinashke Purta, let me kiss him a little bit. And she does so. And Amalo, and she says to him, meaning she's really talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Banai Luchu V'imrul Yavram Avichem. She says to her last son and all your brothers that were here before you, that Nebuch are now killed, go up to Shemayim and tell Avram Avinu, Ato Karata Mizbeachecha, you served up your son, Yitzchak, by Akedas Yitzchak. You served one son up, and that son didn't even die. Yet I served up seven korbanos. And in fact, all of my korbanos were real. Whereas by Akedas Yitzchak, you only were prepared to, but you didn't actually have to go and shecht your son. And with this last words, Afi also legag v'nofla umesa. And she was so distraught that she either threw herself off the rooftop or that she just fell off the rooftop and nebuch, she died. And a voice comes out from Shemayim, Yosef Batzko v'yomra, Eim habonim smecha. Again, pasuk from Tehillim, from the Hallel, it says, how pleased is the mother? Nebuch, this mother, Chana, had seven children that were so eloch, they were literally gave up their lives al kiddush Hashem. Hashem yimkom damo. So this is the second understanding of the pasuk Yalecha Rakim Kol Yom. Now we have the third understanding, Rishu Ben Levi Omar. He says this is a reference to the Bris Mila, Zumila Shenitno Bishmini. This is a reference to the Bris Mila that is done on the eighth day, and Yalecha Rakim Kol Yom. Technically, the baby could die during the Bris Mila. It's not a guarantee that nothing will happen. Baruch Hashem, it's very, very safe. But this is, we're willing to go and sacrifice potentially even our children, Kitzon Tivcha, like a sheep being led out to the slaughter, in order to fulfill your commandments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number three. Number four, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish says, Eilu tamidei chachamim shemarin hilchos shechita b'atzman. This is an idea, call it kialecha, ragam kol yom. When people learn the halachos of shechita, so there's a natural tendency to show that you're doing it from the front of the neck to the back of the neck, and you're doing it in a certain way, in a certain location. So people tend to demonstrate, they point with their fingers, or they take a knife, and they say, this is where you would cut if I was a behemoth, and this is an ayin hara. It's as if you're saying to the satan, you know, let's go and kill me. So al tiftach pel satan. So therefore, Reish Lakish says that these are the people that are, so to say, giving up their lives almost every day, because they're learning Hilchos Shechita, and they tend to demonstrate what the Shechita would look like on themselves, which is improper. The Omer Rava, as Rava said, in general, you're allowed to go and demonstrate things on yourself. Let's say you want to show what a certain type of putting on tefillin looks like, where you put the tefillin. So you demonstrate in your own where you put the tefillin. No problem in doing that. The only problem is when you're demonstrating shechita. So you can demonstrate anything bar mishchita. You shouldn't demonstrate shechita in your body. And also the dover acher. What is dover acher? So Rashi tells us this is saras umaris negoyim. Mipnei shem esukon likpot alav. You shouldn't like color on your arm or draw pictures or show an area of the body on the arm that could be a lesion where saras could be, because this is, again, al tiftach pel l'satan. So shechita and saras, you shouldn't demonstrate on your body what they look like or what they are, and all other things you could. And the final understanding of the pasuk ki olecha haragun kol hayom is from Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak. What did he say? Amar elu tamidei chachamim shememisin atzman al devei Torah. These are the tamidei chachamim that don't look for pleasures in the world. They don't look to just have a good time, but they really schwitz and almost put themselves to death, so to say, for divrei Torah. And this is based upon a drasha from Reish Lakish. The Rishon Lakish, Dama Rishon Lakish, Reish Lakish said, "Ein divrei Torah miskaimim." The words of the Torah can only really be lasting and will stick with a person. Only Ella B'mi, with a person, should mamis asmoled it, so to say, kills himself over them. In other words, he schwitzes over them. He really works hard to understand them. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Zos hatorah odom kiyomus ba'ohel v'gomer, that we play on the words odom kiyomus ba'ohel, that if you want to be a person who understands Torah in the ohel, you have to, so to say, kill yourself for it. In other words, you have to work very hard. Finally, we just get to the two dots, we'll go a little bit further. Amar Rabba bar Rachana, Amar Yochanan. They found our boy and saw him return to Nun Ches Omer Aleph. They found 40 saws worth of kitzutzei tefillin. This is the box that the tefillin come in, the casing that the tefillin are put into, the cloth is put inside the box of the tefillin called the kitzitza. So this is known as the kitzutzei tefillin. It's not talking about the extra box that we put on to protect the tefillin. This is talking about the actual box of the tefillin itself, the kitzutza. So kitzutzei tefillin nimtzu b'roshei harugei beita. They found 40 of these casings that were on the heads of people in beita that were killed. 40 saw. That's how much they found it. Rabbi Yanei b'Rabbi Yishmol Amar, it wasn't 40 saw. It was 120 saw. Shalosh kupas. They found 3 boxes full of albarim. So each of them had 40 saw of the tefillin inside of them. And Basisat on the Bryce, we learned that it was arbaim kupos. It was 40 boxes, and each box had shalosh saw in it. So how do you reconcile the 40 versus the 120? So below pligi, there's no machlokas here. Hadereisha. They're talking about the Tulin Shal Rosh and the Tulin Shayat. The Tulin Shal Rosh are larger because they have four compartments in them. So therefore, they're larger, and that's the larger sum. And the Tulin Shel Yad, that was the smaller sum. And why was it found on their heads? Because Mistama, they were in battle, or that they were doing work, and when they used to wear their Tulin all day long, so when they couldn't wear it on their arms, so they would put it for safekeeping on their head with the Shel Rosh. So that's what it refers to over here, Hadereisha. Ha, the Dara. Dara means the arm, Resha means the head. So talking about the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Okay, this is a good break point over here. It's another long shir. These are very tragic and yet very beautiful Gemaras that have tremendous meaning for us. And Be'ezus Hashem, this year on Tisha B'Av, we won't have to learn these sad stories. Be'ezus Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and these stories will no longer be required learning on Tisha B'Av. Have a great day.